This is Digital Story Podcast number 658, October 23rd, 2018. Today's theme is, How's Lightroom CC coming along? I'm Derek Story. Adobe recently released Lightroom CC 2.0 for desktop and mobile devices. This seems like a good time to check in on the Creative Cloud version of this app. Is it truly useful yet? Can it replace the classic version? What's the experience like? I'll take a closer look in today's TDS Photography Podcast. So among other things, Adobe provides raw decoding for my new Fujifilm XF10 in Lightroom CC. And I thought, well, this is an excellent time to take a look at this app. I'm going to be shooting with that camera. So I went out and I shot for a couple days. I was going to do that anyway, but it allowed me to shoot RAW files and RAW plus JPEG and all that good stuff. And then I said, I am just going to use Lightroom CC 2.0, which came out in October this month, released by Adobe. I'm just going to use that for doing all my editing and processing and sharing and all that good stuff. Perfect way to immerse, to get an update on how this app is coming along. I haven't used it for a bit. And I have to say, just on the top of the show, that I think it's coming along nicely. Now, I'm going to get into lots of details here in a moment, but just a broad brushstroke is that for a 2.0 version of essentially a brand new app, right? I mean, Lightroom Classic on the desktop, of course, has been around for a long time. Lightroom CC, Creative Cloud, a relative newcomer to the photography world. So I think a good place to start with this exploration is talk about what's new in the 2.0 version of Lightroom CC, because Adobe did add some new features as they continue to do with this app. And let's just run through those so that if you're familiar with Lightroom CC already, you'll be up to speed. The first thing is they introduced People View. Finding photos of specific people is now faster in Lightroom CC. Adobe's using a new technology that automatically sorts your photos based on who's in them. When you upload and sync photos to the cloud, Lightroom CC detects, recognizes, and groups photos of the same person. So that's new. Another thing, and this kind of made me smile when I saw this, they have a tool in Lightroom CC to migrate Apple Photos. You can now easily migrate your Apple Photos library into Lightroom CC on your desktop. Your photos sync to the cloud, so you can access, edit, organize, and share them on all your devices. Something that you could also do in Apple Photos. So I'm not going to comment too much on this because most of you know I'm a big fan of Photos for Mac OS. But I do think it's good that they put a migration tool in here, because for folks that maybe started out on Photos, let's say they went from smartphone to Photos, and they heard that, you know, Lightroom might be something they should try or should use as they progress with their photography, then it's always good to have a tool to help them migrate that. Now, how well the tool works, I don't know. I haven't tested it. But I do find it interesting. And hey, why not, right? Why not? I'll be sticking with Apple Photos for a lot of my work. And I'll tell you one reason why right now. And this is even after spending the last few days with Lightroom CC. I just love the editing extensions. I really do. I love the editing extensions, and I don't think there's anything like them out in the photography world. And then, you know, it comes down to the basic thing that I ask people all the time, which is, you know, are you mainly an Adobe application user and, you know, their ecosystem, or are you mainly an Apple application user in that ecosystem? And depending on how you answer that question, really would point you in the direction to go Lightroom CC or Photos for Mac OS. You know, as I said at the top of the show, I think Lightroom CC 2.0 has really come a long ways and definitely worthy of being your photo management app if you're into the cloud experience, which I think is a lot of fun personally. So anyway, yes, you can migrate your Apple Photos library with the new tool in Lightroom CC 2.0. easily share your photos to the web. This is a very cool feature. So in addition to sharing albums, you can now share any random selection of photos as a web gallery. It's very easy to use. It's very handsome. Adobe is very good at this sort of stuff. And it's actually one of my favorite features in this latest version of Lightroom CC. They've also improved search in this version. Start typing in the search bar and Lightroom CC automatically offers suggestions to help you quickly find what you need. Search for cameras, locations, and other metadata with ease. Also, your enabled filters are kept neatly organized in the search box. You can even search for a filter using its name, which is kind of nice. And they suggest here, try camera. So search is better, which is always a good thing. Always a good thing. Local color toning, another new feature. You can now apply colors to specific areas of your photo with the brush and gradient tools. When using the brush, linear gradient or radial gradient tools in Lightroom CC, scroll down to the bottom of the adjustment sliders panel and turn on color. And it is down there. I checked. And it does work. I checked that as well. And it is cool. So that's a very nice adjustment. AGVC file support on Mac OS. So beginning with this release, Lightroom CC supports Apple's AGVC video format, high efficiency video coding, also known as H.265, on Mac OS High Sierra 10.13 or later. So it's always good to have that file support. And then support for new cameras and lenses. And, you know, Adobe is as good as anyone, if not better, at having new RAW profiles as close to the release of a camera as possible. I just really feel like they're Johnny on the spot with this. New models with this release include the Canon EOS R, Fujifilm X-T3, Nikon Z7, and Lumix LX100 Mark II. Those are all very new. My new camera, which no one else seems to be supporting yet, the Fujifilm XF10, that was actually supported in the last release of Lightroom CC. So that's pretty nice. I mean, I tell you, they're Johnny on the spot with this. And I think it's a strong argument, especially if you use a lot of new cameras, you're always using new stuff. Strong argument to have Lightroom CC as part of your photo decoding, editing, and management portfolio. That's the new stuff, and pretty good new stuff on this version 2.0. So now, how did my experience go in terms of just using this latest version for the shoots that I did and for the jobs that I wanted to work on, for the photos I wanted to share, all that kind of stuff? How did it go? Well, there's a few things that jumped out at me, and I thought I'd share those right now. The first one is, the basic adjustments work well, and they've done a good job with this. I think the interface is nice. It's I wouldn't say it's bare bones, but it's not fancy. It's clean, and it gets the job done. So all the basic things that you need to do, highlight, shadows, color, saturation, all that good stuff works very well. And in terms of working globally with the images, whether I wanted to do clarity or dehaze or sharpen, you know, whatever I needed to do, it performed well. It was snappy. It was very nice. It was very nice. So, you know, it covers the basics well when you're image editing. I also like the way the presets are handled. They're down there at the bottom of the panel, and you tap on it, and it opens up the preset column. And the presets work nicely. They work the way that they work in Lightroom, essentially, Lightroom Classic. And there's quite a few of them in there, and I use them quite often. And I like the presets in Lightroom. I think they're very cool. Very happy to see them there in Lightroom CC. I think they're a useful tool, not only for discovering what's going on with your image, but sometimes it's just a quick hit the preset, looks good, move on to the next shot. And they're there and they're easy to use. I thought the brushing tools were quite serviceable. So you have a lot of different options with the brushing tools. And now, of course, you have color in there as well, where you can paint in a specific color that you choose from a color gradient that they've provided you. So having really good and versatile brushing tools in a cloud version of an image editing app, I think that's a nice touch. I think that's very nice for a version 2.0, and I give them high marks on that. One thing I've always liked about Lightroom are both the linear and radial gradients. Very happy that they're there, easy to use in Lightroom CC. They separated them. So when you're on the far right and you're looking at the tools you have available to you while you're editing, linear has its own icon and the radial gradient has its own icon. They're great. They work well. And I mean, the linear for me especially, I use the linear a lot more than I do the radial. It's just such a handy tool. And when I'm working in photos, what I'll do is I'll go to Luminar 2018 editing extension, you know, to apply my gradients. But in Lightroom CC, they're right there in the application. One of the things that I thought was kind of odd was that there are no shortcuts for the copy and paste settings. Now, on one hand, they do a great job with copy and paste settings, and they have a command just for this, where if you copy settings from one image and you want to apply them to other images, they make it easy to decide which of those adjustments that you copied do you want to apply to future images. And, you know, the standard one is crop, right? You might want to apply all the other adjustments, the light adjustments, color adjustments, all that stuff. But crop, you probably don't want to apply one kind of crop to all your other shots. Generally speaking, I don't anyway. So you just turn that off, and then you go ahead and paste the adjustments to the rest of the images. So I like that part, but unless I just can't find them, unless they're hidden, I couldn't find the shortcuts for copy and paste settings. So I was having to use the menu, which I thought was a little cumbersome and not necessary. So if any of you know if there are shortcuts for copy and paste settings, now I'm not talking about just copy and paste, but the settings like, you know, exposure and highlights and all that kind of stuff, please add on to the Facebook post that I'll do for the show and let me know. And then we can share them with everyone. Now, the last thing that really jumped out at me is that the Creative Cloud syncing is excellent. At least for the few days that I was using it, I thought it was quite good. And what I would do is I would go ahead and, you know, load the images onto my laptop. And I'm using it on my ultra portable MacBook Air 11 inch. That's one that I use for travel a lot. And I love the computer, but I don't necessarily love the screen on the computer because it's not a Retina display. And after you've been using Retina displays on every other computer you have, it's kind of odd to have one that doesn't. So what I'd like to do is, after I edit an image, is then check it on my iPhone 10 and just see how it looks and, you know, compare the two and make sure that, you know, I'm doing what I want to do there, especially with exposure and color. And because the Creative Cloud syncing is so good, I could work on an image in Lightroom CC on the MacBook Air and then just open up my iPhone and open up Lightroom CC on the iPhone, and that image updated very fast. It updated very fast, and I could see it there on my iPhone and then use it as a check to make sure that I was doing what I thought I was doing on the MacBook. And I like to do that anyway, even when I have a screen that has Retina display. I just like to look at it on a couple other devices just to make sure that I'm doing what I think I'm doing. And in general, I would say that I felt like the syncing was going a little faster with the Creative Cloud in Lightroom CC than it does with Photos in iCloud, which for me feels like that I have a bit more of a delay. Now, I don't know if that's because my library is so much bigger for my photos than it is for Lightroom CC. But during this test anyway, I thought Lightroom CC updated my iPhone faster than Photos does via iCloud. And so I give it very high marks for that. So overall, I have to say Lightroom CC version 2.0, I think it's coming along quite well. And we do have to keep in mind that this is version 2.0, right? It hasn't been around that long, just a couple years now. I think if you're using Lightroom Classic, and you're, especially if you're a good Lightroom Classic user, I think Lightroom CC would be a difficult proposition for you, in the sense that there are still so many things missing in Lightroom CC that, you know, many of us like in Lightroom Classic. I mean, the two things that I really miss and that I want in Lightroom CC is HDR merging. I love that tool that they have in Classic, and the panorama stitching, which I also think is excellent in the Classic version. I would love to have that in the CC version. I just think that those would be terrific additions. I know they're not easy ones, right? I know that those are sophisticated tools. But those are two examples of the stuff that I miss. And I'm sure a lot of you are going to have things that are in Classic that you're used to using that you won't have in CC. And that makes it hard because it then feels like you're stepping backwards, and no one likes to do that. So I think it's a rough go for Classic users, especially good Classic users, ones that know what they're doing. Now, for other folks, and especially folks who have been working primarily on mobile, I think Lightroom CC is a nice upgrade. I do. I think, you know, you have more screen real estate, you have more tools. The layout of the tools is less cramped, and it performs very well, and it still interacts virtually seamlessly with your mobile devices via Lightroom CC on the desktop and Lightroom CC on whatever mobile device that you have. So in those instances, I think moving up from mobile to Lightroom CC, that's a very nice upgrade. It's a very nice upgrade indeed. Now, the third category I'm going to cite is moving over from Photos for Mac OS. For me, it would be very difficult to move everything out of Photos and live by Lightroom CC only. And the two reasons that I cited early. One, I'm more or less in the Apple ecosystem, so Photos is a more natural fit for me. And then second of all, I love the editing extensions in Photos. I love having Luminar and DxO Optics Pro and Raw Power and all those editing extensions that I use constantly. And it's neat having software as part of my Photos ecosystem, but yet software designed by other people that gives me these different tools. And I would have a very hard time leaving all of those tools behind. Plus, I do like Photos. So I think for a heavy-duty Photos user, such as myself, someone who really gets into the whole digital darkroom aspect of it, moving over to Lightroom CC probably would not be very satisfying. That being said, if you're a very casual Photos user and you've just sort of been using it by default and you really feel like that you should move into Lightroom, you know, people are saying, hey, you should use Lightroom because that's what real photographers use, then Lightroom CC probably won't feel too bad because you've probably been working mainly in the Photos interface and then, you know, moving into the basic Lightroom CC interface is actually an upgrade because you haven't been using the editing extensions. So it really sort of depends, like so many things in this world. Overall, though, I think that Lightroom CC is on a very good course, and I think when we see version 3 and version 4, and we get more tools in there, and Adobe continues to be mindful of being very selective about the tools they add and keeping the syncing at a very high level, I think this is a formidable app, and I think they've done a good job. HoneyBook makes your business as good as your art. So I've been talking about HoneyBook for the last couple weeks, and you know, the thing that I really want to get across to folks that have similar work experiences as myself, which means I'm kind of a one-man show. I can't really afford to hire a bookkeeper. I can't really afford to hire someone who handles all my scheduling. I can't really afford to have an administrative assistant as much as I would love one. I would, as much as I really would. And maybe someday I will be able to. But for now, it just doesn't seem like a good expenditure for me to actually hire someone to do all these sort of things. And I think a lot of freelancers and entrepreneurs and solopreneurs are in that same sort of boat. they probably could pay for it, but it doesn't seem like the wisest use of that money. It'd be better to invest it in other areas of their business. And I think that's where, you know, HoneyBook really does come in, because that's the role that this, you know, online platform plays for you. It does handle your invoicing, or makes your invoicing very easy. It does handle your appointments and your task management and all that stuff. So even though you still have to actually do it, you still have to enter, you know, that calendar appointment, or you still have to initiate that invoice or that bid, you have a tool that makes it easier to do it, and therefore you can do it faster and spend less time. And I think it's a nice in-between spot between cobbling together a bunch of different tools and spending a lot of time on this sort of activity. Nice in between that and just going out and hiring someone to do it. And then, of course, you have all those things that come with having another human being, you know, reporting to you. And so HoneyBook's kind of a sweet spot in between. And so I think that this service are good for people that are at a certain level of their solo business and, you know, really want to be efficient, really want to take care of, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's. So if you're grappling with these sort of challenges in your freelance or startup business, I encourage you to explore HoneyBook. It won't cost you a thing to learn what it can do for you, but it can save you hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars up the road. And that's why, for a limited time, TDS listeners can get 50% off the first year of HoneyBook with promo code THEDIGITALSTORY, all one word. HoneyBook membership includes unlimited access for all features at one low monthly price. So go to honeybook.com today and use the promo code THEDIGITALSTORY to get started. Again, that's honeybook.com, promo code THEDIGITALSTORY. And as I mentioned earlier, it doesn't cost you anything to take a look at it and try it out. And I really feel like it could save you a lot up the road and just make your life more fun, because you're spending more time on the stuff you want to do and less time on the stuff that you have to do. Digitizing family memories with the Epson Fast Photo Scanner. So this has been a fun thing that I have been testing. I've had my eye on the Fast Photo Scanner for a long time, and I finally got an opportunity to test one, and it's lived up to my expectations. So what is this thing? What Epson has done is designed a scanner that looks like a printer. It looks like a little printer, actually, and it has a feed on top like a printer, and then, you know, the images shoot out the bottom like on a printer. But they do so really fast. Like if you put a stack of 10 images in there, 10 snapshots, let's say 4x6 prints, then they're shooting through this thing at like 1 second. Just going boom, 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 boom. And they're being scanned when they do. So it's really good for people who have large collections of prints, especially 4x6 prints, 5x7 prints, Polaroid prints, all that kind of stuff. This scanner can save you so much time, because compared to a flatbed scanner, which I think is really laborious, and I really don't like using the flatbed scanner for photos. It's just boring and it feels like it takes forever. So therefore, I had a bunch of images, stuff that my mom has given me, stuff that I took way back when, on print that I hadn't scanned, that I didn't have in my photos library, because flatbed scanning to me was just so dull and boring. Fast Photo really fixes that. And suddenly with Fast Photo, you know, I'm burning through the shots that I had been sitting there in this box forever. I already burned through those. And then I'm looking around for, hey, you know, I got a book around here somewhere that has a whole bunch of prints in it. Where's that? I want to do that. And it's a completely different experience than I had with using a flatbed scanner. And the other thing that I really like about this Epson Fast Photo Scanner, it will send the images right into my photos for macOS library, directly in there. So, I mean, this software works for Windows and Mac both, but if you're on the Mac, it will just basically talk to your photos library, and you scan the images really fast, boom, 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 boom. I usually do stack of 10, and then it shows up in my photos library, boom, 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 and then I can, you know, do what I want from there. So it's very cool. So I have a review coming out for it on Wednesday that'll go into all the details. It will show you pictures that I scanned. It'll show you screenshots of the software. It has all the good stuff in there. If you're interested in this device, then I would take a look at that review. Now, the Epson Fast Photo Scanner is $599. I think at first I was going, oh, man, don't really want to spend that much on it. However, as I'm getting into it and as I'm using it, if you have a lot of stuff to scan, you get that $599 back because it does save you so much time and it is truly fun to use. So it's one of those things. If you have enough content to scan, I think it's totally worth the investment. If you don't have enough content to scan, then it could be something that you go in on with somebody else. And I think that would be a very interesting way to go. It could be a scanner for the entire family, and it's not very big, so you can move it around from location to location okay. But for you might have a hard time getting it back once people start using it, because it is a blast. But anyway, I'm glad I got to test it. I really enjoyed it. The images look good. As I said, the review of it will be out on Wednesday. You might want to take a look at it. And then if you're going to be at Photo Plus in New York this week, Epson is also demoing it in their booth at Photo Plus. Photo Plus is going to be on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week. So if you're going to go, you might want to go and take a look at it and have them give you the tour of it as well. I think it'd be well worth your time. And by the way, if you're going to be at Photo Plus, remember I'm working in the Skylum booth on Friday and Saturday. Make sure you come by and say hi. Introduce yourself as a listener, and if you're a Patreon member, if you're an Inner Circle member, make sure that you mention that as well. This is a fun device. Take a look at the review if I've piqued your curiosity. I'm digging it. I just think it's a lot of fun. Okay, I have a few updates. I'm going to start with Inner Circle members. So Photo Critique is going on, guys and gals. I'm doing about 2 a week right now. So those images are showing up in your Patreon feed. Jump in there, comment on other people's stuff. I'm doing a critique on it. Let's give some feedback to these folks that want to hear what other photographers think about their work. This is for Inner Circle members only, this feature, and is one of the ways that I like to say thank you for supporting the show. If you're interested in being a part of Photo Critique, if you're interested in supporting the Digital Story podcast, just look for the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story and click on it. You can see what's going on our Patreon site, and you can become part of the Inner Circle right there, which I would totally appreciate it if you did. And a big thanks to all of our Inner Circle members. I really appreciate your support. I'm going to be spending some time at B&H this week. I'm going to go over there for a meeting. And I want to mention that I have B&H and Amazon tiles on all the pages of the Digital Story. If you're going to do some shopping, if you're going to buy a new camera, and you're going to go to one of those sites, then if you go to Digital Story first and then click on those tiles, then go over to those sites. Our affiliate program really does help support our podcast. And again, it's another way that you can help by just going to Digital Story first, clicking on a tile, and then going to B&H or Amazon. And a big thanks for those of you that do that. It does help. All this stuff adds up. All this stuff adds up. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. I was hoping they were going to be at Photo Plus, but they're on the road elsewhere and won't be there. So I won't get to see Drew at the show, but we had a nice chat since we weren't going to see each other in person. And I just want to tell you that, you know, Red River Paper, that's the kind of people they are. They really do care about their customers. They care about the people that they work with. They care about printing. And they take all of this, you know, seriously, and I mean that in a good way. I mean, they're really into it. And you can see for yourself by going to their site. And the best way to get there is through the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. The Red River Paper tile will take you to our landing page. And you can explore all the different paper stocks, the tutorials, the ink supplies, anything really that you need for inkjet printing will be there. and remind you that they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of Digital Story, and great friends of the printing world and this podcast. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I'm heading out to New York City. I'll be reporting to you from there using all my favorite tools, my Olympus camera, my Fujifilm camera. I'll use a little Photos for Mac OS. I'll use a little Lightroom CC. Have lots to report next week. Make sure you come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.